Well, good evening, everyone. Song number 5 in our songbook starts out, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Imagine for just a moment David as a young shepherd boy, sitting out in the fields at night with his sheep, and looking up at the stars above. I know that David was a man after God's own heart, but I can only imagine the wonder that he had about the majesty of his Creator. And I look around at our creation, even today, even here in Fort Smith, the surrounding areas, driving out toward Hackett and toward Poto and up into the Boston Mountains and even into the Ozarks. And look at the majesty of God. And Psalm 8 can come to mind. Because our Lord, how excellent is His name. I look at this and think about David in his youth and how he would have glorified God. Probably not singing the grand old verses of songs that we might sing today. But maybe in the process, as he grows older, writing the Psalms like he did Psalm 8. I don't see David hesitating, expressing how great thou art. I don't see him hesitating at all and thinking about the magnificence of God Almighty. David never seemed to be reluctant at all when it came to that, did he? It reminds me of singing some new songs. That old How Great Thou Art is a wonderful song that makes me think of that. But there are some new songs, verses to which I learned a few years back. Father, we love You, we worship and adore You. Glorify Your name in all the earth. That's David when he's writing this particular psalm. And so I think of David and I think of what he is saying, because you come to that very first verse in Psalm chapter 8 and he starts out, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. And he talks about the author of that song, How Great Thou Art. He says, when I consider Your heavens, the works of Your fingers, the moon, the stars, which You have ordained, what is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You visit him? I think about where we live, the time in which we live. There's really not any comparison to what David had, the way he lived, because that was so long ago. The modern technologies and the things that we have in our lives today seem to take our focus away from the magnificence of God. We don't spend enough time outside. We don't spend enough time gazing at the stars. And I remember when we lived in Portales, New Mexico, that some of those nights there were so dark. And being almost a mile high on a plateau, the heavens seemed that much closer. And I can remember waking the boys up when the asteroid showers would come along and taking them out into the backyard and not have to worry about turning off neighborhood lights, because you could see them crystal clear across the sky. It's a peaceful setting. And David's psalm is just that also. It is a beautiful hymn of praise that celebrates the greatness of God. It is one in which you can meditate upon and look upon the wonders and the glory of God's creation. And you think about the work of God's fingers, how it includes the moon and the stars. How that the vast universe, that we've got Hubble telescope now that can look out light years away from where we are, and we get to see that much more of God's creation? That which He ordained by the power of His Word. So how glorious is our God. How wonderful is His name. And so as we look at this 8th Psalm this evening, let's keep that in mind. There's reason to be joyful because of our Creator. And as David unfolds for us, that God is the Creator of mankind. We are His creation. We have been made lower than the angels. The Son of Man, speaking of the Son of God, was for a while made a little bit lower than the angels. But you think about this, we are crowned with glory and honor, but not the glory and honor of God. And all too often, we try to emphasize the exalted standing of man, don't we? We try to puff ourselves up when we try to exalt ourselves to a place that we do not deserve. And David in this psalm brings us back down to earth. Because it is here that he humbly describes the greatness of God in the minute stature of man in the sight of God. Who are we? That God, this great being, this great person of power, would even think of us. But when I look at this, I understand that David's point of emphasis is just that. His point of emphasis is not on man, it is on God. Every day of our lives, when I think of this in these terms, our point of emphasis from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night to the next day that God allows us to wake up, our point of emphasis should be on our God as well. You think of the words that of the psalmist, you turn to Psalm chapter 1 for just a moment and you look at what he says there in the very first verse of the first psalm. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I'm not going to continue reading right there. I see that David delights in his Creator. David is just full of joy and exuberance about the one who made him. David made him a little lower than the angels as a created being. Made the Son of Man. You see, you crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, verses 4 through 6 of the chapter. But his emphasis is not on man and what man has done, but he sits there and talks about the glory of God. We see that in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. It is mentioned there, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul, when he's writing those things, is echoing similar language to David right here. Because he understands where we are in the great scheme of things. David knew that we were created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 explain that. David knew that man had been given dominion over the creation that God spoke into existence. But he also understood that man does not have dominion over the Creator. It is God who is great. You remember as little children, some of the prayers that you might have started out, especially over meals, God is great, God is good. David understands that in this psalm. He's talking about how excellent our Lord is. So Psalm 8 is intended to excite us to further meditation, to get us to look upon the grand nature of its subject, Jehovah God. And understand this, that the 8th Psalm is quoted in the New Testament. Now, I know that what I've got written on the screen, it's quoted at least four times in the New Testament, and I only have 3 scriptures up there. I don't have Hebrews chapter 1 up there because it's repeated in Hebrews chapter 2. But understand that the writers of the New Testament, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 21, quotes from Psalm 8. But each time it's written in the New Testament, it's also to the praise and to the glory of God. And it's through His divine Son, Jesus Christ, that we have what we have today, that we can honor Him the same way. I want you to take into consideration that God is our Creator. Look at Matthew chapter 21 and verse 16. Jewish chief priests and scribes, they had expressed some resentment toward Jesus Christ because children were praising Him, were being brought to Him even. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 16, Jesus said this, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." You go back over to verse 2 of Psalm chapter 8, and it says, "Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." Out of the mouth of babes, it is rather encouraging when you hear young children talk about God in such a loving manner, that there is a form of love that comes off of their lips, this form of excitement that every one of us should try to develop. Sometimes I think we lose that excitement the older that we get. And I don't know that it's necessarily because we don't love God. I think we've been loving Him for such a long time, we take it for granted. And maybe we need to reinstill in our own lives that exuberance of a child in appreciation for the One who has created us. But Jesus, He was the Son of God. He's spoken of in this text in Psalm 8 as the Son of Man. He not only performed miracles on earth, but it was through Him that all things were created. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, we see there that it stated, "All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made." We see in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." We talked about in the book of Colossians especially Christ's role in creation. We see Christ being given the preeminence by the Apostle Paul, stated that in Colossians chapter 1. But then the Hebrew writer says in chapter 1 verse 2 about God having in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. And see, even the young children praised His majesty. Even the young children did not forget to praise Christ. And we need to learn to do the very same thing. We need never forget that when we praise the Christ, the Son of God, we are praising God Himself. And the Son of Man, He is our Savior. When you look at verse 4, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor." Also references Jesus Christ. The psalm is messianic. "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." We're talking about the exalted position of Jesus Christ because he is our Savior. The Holy Spirit uses this psalm in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And brings mention of this, but especially It says, see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. And you begin looking there at verse 5. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him. That includes you and me, and all of creation has been put in subjection to Jesus Christ. He left nothing that is not under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And then in verse 10, for it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. It's Jesus Christ that we honor with our lives. And in honoring Christ, we honor God. By serving Christ, we serve God, our Creator. And so therefore, all things have been placed under Christ, not under the angels. Understand this. Yes, angels may have immortality, but they are created beings. Jesus Christ was immortal from the beginning. He did not have to be created. He is the Son of God, and through Him all things come into existence. This one for whom are all things and by whom are all things is superior to all others. David was being prophetic in that 8th Psalm by proclaiming the excellence of God's name, but by also pointing us forward to the time that the Son of God would come into this world. We glorify Him because He has brought many others, including ourselves, to glory. And the psalmist is quick to point that out. Now, I want you to understand, not only is He our Savior, but He is our ruler. To God alone belongs all original innate authority. You think about that for a minute. He has given dominion over the material creation to man. We see that in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. We see that in Genesis chapter 1. But true dominion belongs to the Son right now. And eventually, all of that will be turned back to God. That greater fulfillment of the Scriptures found in the Gospel. Why? Because Jesus made that proclamation in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 Himself when He said, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Not only does He go that far right there, but when you turn over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, you see the exalted position of Jesus Christ there when it says, in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. What has happened? He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head of over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This great expression of God's majesty as it's seen in Psalm 8 We have to understand that this comes to His Son. He's given dominion over material creation. He has given Him dominion over a spiritual kingdom. And so Paul points that out for us. Paul also declared that His reign will continue until all enemies, including death, have been destroyed. That's when it's returned to God. Psalm 8 is just a beautiful thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 27 says this, "For He has put all things under His feet, but when He says all things are put under Him, it is evident that He who put all things under Him is accepted." That means God deserves the glory and the honor. And we glorify the Lord of Lords who presides over our spiritual lives because He submits to God and we submit to God's rule because He is our true King. Now, I want to go back and I want to reread the verses to this psalm. I want you to listen to them, how it begins and how it ends. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth, who have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants You have ordained strength because of Your enemies, that You may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have ordained, what is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You visit him? For You have made Him a little lower than the angels, and You have crowned Him with glory and honor. You have made Him to have dominion over the works of Your hands. You have put all things under His feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. 9 verses full of glory and honor to our God. 9 verses that begin and end the same way. I don't know that we'll remember to do this every morning, but this is an excellent way to start our prayer, to start our day, in recognition of who our God is, and say, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. There are so many different adjectives that we can use to describe God, but to say that His name is excellent in all the earth just wraps all of those adjectives, superlatives, however you want to, up into one nice, neat little phrase. Because His name is deserving to be exalted. The picture of His creation reveals Him to us. The power of His creation exalts Him above all else. Solomon talks about how important it is to have a name that is to be honored. God, Yahweh, Jehovah. There's no greater name in this world or in any world. So each day of our life, let's remember that we should begin and end our days with that type of expression of adoration and love and appreciation for our God. Our worship should begin and end with that type of praise for our God about how great He is. Our very lives should exemplify how excellent the name of God is. It should be shown in obedience to Him in all things. It should be evident in our innermost spirit and our loving actions that we glorify His name. Take out your songbooks. We're getting ready to sing a song of invitation. And it's for those who have not given proper honor to God. They have not shown Him that they truly believe His name is excellent by the lives that they've lived. It's for those who have a desire to change that and start living their lives in such a way to glorify God. For those who have never obeyed the gospel, for those who have turned away from Him, it's time to reconcile your life to Him this evening. And if that is your desire, we stand ready to assist you. The song we're going to sing, "Are You Coming to Jesus Tonight?" That's the opportunity that you have. Be baptized for the remission of your sin, or ask God to forgive you of those sins that have separated Him from you as His child. We stand ready. Are you ready to come to Jesus tonight? Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.